part-time fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
More powerful than a locomotive.
I'm not doing part. Fanboy.com.
All right, well, shall we get started with this podcast/interview thing?
For sure.
Awesome. Well, my name is Christian Horn, and this is the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. We have been gone for a couple of weeks. I had a lot of stuff going on. I did a convention at the end of October. Actually, October kind of wore me out. We were doing horror movies and interviews and like two podcasts a week at times, and plus other projects that I was involved in. So I needed a break, and I actually also caught a cold. So it's taking me a little bit while to snap back, but I am here with an interview of a lovely young woman who I met at the Long Beach Comic Con. I found a little bit of what she was talking about, her work, to be interesting. And so I said, hey, do you want to do an interview? And she said, well, let's do it. And then she got back to me several weeks later, and we've been bouncing back and forth. And now we're finally here. So I am going to let her introduce herself. Your name is...
My name is Maxi Rodriguez, or my pen name, Casudo Productions.
Gotcha. And you were at Long Beach Comic Con. That was like back in, what was that, like September?
I think it was September.
You had a booth, and I was helping my friend Dave out with his booth for his project, Baby Badass. And I also had some of my own Periwinkle Puss stuff there. But you had swung by, and we were chatting, and you had said something to the effect of, like, I'm going to go back to my booth and try and sell some, I don't know if it was like plus size model art or plus or big girl art or something that you had said, but I found it, whatever phrase you use, it was very positive. And I was like, oh, like, I'm interested in that. Like, I want to talk to this person, because that's not something that you see in like comic art, you know, a lot lately. You don't see like, you know, larger women or people, you know, represented and stuff like that. And that was sort of like the big thing that went, like, my ears kind of like pricked up, and I was like, wait, I want to talk to her. So do you remember what it is that you said to me?
I said that I gotta go back to my booth and try to sell my body positivity art.
Excuse me. Okay. And then I asked a little more about it, and you kind of spoke a little bit more about it. And then I was like, oh yes, this is somebody that I want to talk to. So can you talk to me about your art and like how you approach your style and just sort of the body positivity sort of like philosophy that you apply to your style?
Okay, so basically I draw, it's under body positivity art, but it's also under chubby girl art.
Okay.
You don't really see, when you look at comics, even anime, manga, even in media, you see, you know, very skinny girls, in the single digits. But rarely do you see the average body size, body image of the average American. And, we're not really represented.
Yeah.
Very well. So I basically, I just draw body positivity art to inspire not just big girls, but also big guys, and also even smaller size people, people of all sizes. I try to create artwork to inspire them to love themselves and love the bodies they're in. I mean, because that's how we were born. And yeah, that's basically what I do.
Yeah. 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 I mean, I found it really intriguing because of the fact that, I mean, I have a daughter, obviously, and once you have sort of a daughter, anyone who listens to this podcast would know that I have a daughter. I don't know that it's obvious that I have a daughter, obviously, to you, but, you know, I have a young daughter probably about to start off in her teenage years in the next several years, and having a daughter kind of opens up, not that I wasn't, my eyes weren't open to this sort of thing because I'd been involved in the entertainment community when I was younger and I had a lot of female friends, and you would hear sort of like the, you know, the sort of complaints that women would always talk about not getting called into parts or not being brought in, you know, on jobs and stuff like that. And the prejudice that is lifted against people who are sort of, you know, of normal body shape and, you know, not incredibly thin or incredibly fit, the sort of thing that Hollywood sort of reaches out for. And before I had spoken to you at the convention, I had happened to have been in my office and my daughter was sitting with me and we were kind of looking at like, she was just looking around the office and she was sitting in the statues and she's like, how come like all the superheroes are like in super great shape? She's like, how come there's nobody that's not like normal shape or, you know, or a bigger size even? And I kind of like sat there and I was like, well, there's like maybe one, you know, that I could think of. And I was like, but you're right. Like it sort of doesn't equate. How did you sort of like, I mean, it's a stupid question to ask a woman, I guess, to say like, how did you become aware of this? But how did you decide to sort of like take this prejudice that society has against, you know, normal sized bodies and start applying it to your art? Because even people who are, you know, regular shape or plus size or whatever, how, you know, different kind of sizes, even overly thin people tend to approach superhero comics, and those characters tend to be sort of like, you know, lack of a better term, roided out. You know what I'm saying? What made you move forward into the direction of art that you wanted to go to?
Okay, first off, that's not a stupid question. That is an excellent question, and I love it when people ask me this question.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to dive a little bit into my personal life.
Sure.
Fine. You know, because I'm a plus size, you know, I'm a big girl. I'm also Latina.
Okay.
So that's two strikes against me.
Uh-huh.
You know, growing up, you know, I'm told by a lot of people, you know, some from family, some from so-called friends, and from other people saying, oh, you'll never be happy because you're big. You mm-hmm. can't do this because you're big. You'll never find love because you're big. And that followed me.
Yeah.
You know, all the way to high school. I remember I was 16 years old. I didn't feel good about myself. I wore baggy clothes because I thought, you know what? I'm fat. I'm ugly. No one's going to love me. I might as well dress the part. So there I am. You know, I'm just the 16-year-old girl, never do my hair. I didn't wear makeup, wore baggy. I dressed like a boy, basically, because I didn't feel feminine. And then one day I get approached by a friend of mine. He's a guy, and he's like, hey, I got to tell you something. I was like, okay, sure, dude, what's up? You know, like, I have a crush on you. I'm like,
oh, wow.
I heard the screeching. Wait, excuse me.
Like the needle on the record.
Like, time out here. Let me step back. What did you just say? He's like, I have a crush on you. I'm like, dude, you do realize I'm fat, right? And he's like, so? I'm like, isn't that a problem? And he's like, I'm not seeing the outside. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing the inside. Mm-hmm. I like you for who you are on the inside. And I thought, wait a minute, no, this don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And of course, I go home and I ponder this. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I don't understand. This just, it just threw me off so much.
Sure.
And that's where I realized, you know what? I'm big, but there's people out there, and, you know, who see me for who I am. You know, I'm a good girl, and I value my friends. I was a straight-A student. I was an ROTC. I was a co-commander. I was an officer. I was doing a lot of things. I was trying to get into college. And I thought, you know what? My body doesn't define who I am. Mm-hmm. It's my character.
Yeah.
And it just, like, I swear, you know, if this was animated, you would see my head just blow up.
Yeah.
And then from there on, you know, I started thinking, okay, you know what? If some dude thinks I'm pretty because of who I am on the inside, maybe I, you know, I should accept who I am.
Yeah.
On the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, it made me do a lot of soul searching. I started dressing a little more feminine. Of course, I was still a tomboy because we did that.
Yeah.
But in a way, it just, like, opened my mind. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize I may be a big girl, but I'm still healthy.
Yeah. Like,
and I had a lot of family members, even some friends who were smaller than me, and they had, like, series of health issues. And here I am, this chubby girl, and I'm perfectly fine. I thought, okay, this is a new concept here. And this train of thought followed me all the way to college.
Mm-hmm.
As I was studying graphic design. And you know, at the time, you know, I'm a comic book fan. And I thought, why don't we see a lot of these women in our comic books?
Yeah.
I don't see any stick. I mean, I see maybe two or three, but most of the women aren't that shape. And then, like, the one comic book character that I loathe with a passion so badly, Big Bertha.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. From Alpha Flight, right?
Oh, my God. I'm like, nope. And what ticked me off, her powers, she inflates, and then later she goes to the bathroom to vomit. And she's and I'm like, why? No! And then, like, you know, you said you had a daughter. I have a little sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, no, this is not the world. I want my sister to grow up thinking that this is okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a young age, you know, I would tell my sister, listen, you're beautiful no matter what. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. And she's like, but look at the media. I'm like, that's the media. It's Photoshop. It's video editing. Sweetie, I study this stuff, okay? I know the magic tricks.
Yeah.
Oh, you are beautiful. And I want you to grow up thinking like that, okay? And she's like, okay. And, you know, just seeing all this, I'm like, okay, you know what? Something's got to change here. So I started drawing chubby girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I would get ridiculed. I would get teased. I'd get bullied by...
Really? You'd get ridiculed? Like what, in college or in high school?
Oh, no, in college. In college, I started drawing.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would get teased and bullied and even ridiculed by some people like, why are you drawing a chubby girl? I'm like, why the fuck not?
Really?
I'm sorry, excuse my language.
No, go ahead. You can curse on this podcast. That's totally fine.
Sweet. Anyway. So
well, don't go crazy. Let's not go into like, you know.
So yeah, I'm like, why not? And they're like, oh, because no one likes chubby girls. I'm like, well, that's their loss. I'm going to draw this.
Uh-huh.
Because something needs to be done here. There's not a lot of chubby girl artists out there. We need more of them.
Yeah.
So, and that even motivated me more because it's like, okay, these people are going to come here and tell me, no one's into that stuff. Okay, then I'm going to keep drawing it some more because I don't care.
Uh-huh.
And then I started doing webcomics. And of course, my chubby character was in there, but it wasn't very popular. But I just kept going and kept going until it was, I think it was 2016. I had already graduated college. I was trying to get my foot in the door. I was trying to establish myself as a comic artist and basically as a chubby girl artist. Rogue One just came into theaters at the time. And I didn't want anyone spoiling the movie for me. Yeah. So I drew myself because I drew chubby girls, but I never drew myself. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a risk here. I'm going to draw myself. So I drew myself with my curve, with my fat and everything, with my kindness bat. And it had blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob the Spoiler was dead on the floor. And the meme literally said, this is Bob. Bob is a movie spoiler. He spoils movies for Bob. Bob is a jerk. Don't be like Bob.
Uh-huh.
It got shared by a bunch of my friends. And even one of them, she tagged me in the post. And I thought, okay, why is this girl tagging me in a post? Apparently, one of her friends, who's a chubby girl, you know, she's never really seen chubby girl art. She sees this cartoon and she's like, oh my God, what is this? Who is this? She has my body. And I'm like, oh, snap. So I'm rolling here. So I talked to her. Hey, my name is Maxie. I draw chubby girls. This is my Facebook page. Follow me here. You see more chubby girl arts. And then I really started getting more into it. I remember I drew an episode. I don't know if I told you about my comic book series.
No, not at all. I mean, we didn't really get a chance to discuss the specifics of, like, what you were doing because obviously we were both busy at the con and it was like, okay, let's do an interview and you run here and you run there. So why don't you talk a little bit about that as well?
Totally. Okay. This is leading up to the comic. So after that little occurrence, I decided to draw a personal comic.
Mm-hmm.
This little comic, I said, you know what? I'm going to dive deep into myself. I'm going to draw this. I'm going to let it all out.
Uh-huh.
I drew a comic with my boyfriend where he gets a package in the mail. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, my package is finally here. He opens it up. And this very skinny, sexy girl comes out. And he's like, yes, my new girlfriend is here. She's skinny. She's smart. She's not fat. She doesn't have these mental issues. And she even has the bunny suit. And then it's just me, you know, just imagining this.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, my character, she goes right up to her boyfriend, her little bunny ears sticking out, crying. And she's like, am I still cute? And, of course, her boyfriend embraces her. And he's like, you'll always be cute, my queen. And, you know, she's happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I published this. And then all of a sudden, I kept getting messages like, oh, my God, I love your comic. This is so relatable. And all these really nice messages, I thought, okay, you know what? I think I have my comic established.
Uh-huh.
And that's when Chronicles of a Chubby Bunny was first created.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, this is my comic book series, Chronicles of a Chubby Bunny, is the story of this plus-size, snarky Latina. And mind you, she's very snarky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she deals with body image issues, with bullies, with trolls, in her own sassy way.
Uh-huh.
She's a cosplayer. She loves to cosplay. She will cosplay as Lady Thor. She's cosplayed as Wonder Woman, She-Ra. Who else have I put her? Oh, as Link from The Legend of Zelda. And, you know, I draw her in these costumes, and I don't even hide her curves. It's full body and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she feels good about herself. You know, of course, she has these people come and tell her, ugh, guys don't like fat girls. And her being snarky, she's like, well, it's a good thing. I don't care what men think, huh?
Uh-huh.
It just quiets them up instantly. Or, you know, if she sees somebody getting bullied, she'll just easily go stand up for them and tell them, listen, you're beautiful. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, she just deals with all these issues. And then, of course, she was created, and you know, there's another character who is called Artist. artist is the one with the body issues. She's also the one with the mental health issues. Mm-hmm. And Shelby Bunny is her creation that she created, you know, to help her fight off, you know, her depression, her anxiety, but also a manifestation of something she wishes she was. Like, she wished she had all this confidence mm-hmm. to, you know, cosplay without caring what people think about her.
Yeah.
And that's basically my comic book right there in a nutshell.
And where is your comic? Is there a URL or is it on your Facebook page and that sort of thing?
I post on my Instagram regularly.
Okay.
I'm also, because I have a Webtoons as well, where I post episodes. I have to get back to that because I haven't posted in a month, and I think my fans are kind of like, hey, where's this episode?
Oh, I know all about that. Yeah. So wait, what's the Instagram account so people can...
So it's Instagram. You can just type in my name, Kasuto Productions. Mm-hmm. It's a Kasuto Productions.
Yeah.
Just type that in.
That's awesome.
You'll find me. It's a chubby bunny dressed as Frida Kahlo. That's my little profile.
That's great. So let me go back a little bit because you kind of like went into your personal story. And part of the reason that I wanted to speak with you about this and I was so excited about like what you were doing is because... It's funny because I'm half Latin and my mother is Colombian, and so and I was raised solely by my mother to sort of get personal like you did, and I've talked about this on. But I just wonder, it's so funny because you said earlier on you're Latin Latina, Latinx, I don't know what we're calling ourselves these days, but we have Latin heritage, Latino heritage, Latina, whatever. I'm trying to be politically correct. Stop me if I'm making an idiot out of myself. In any case, but I'm very much like the type of person that sort of can pass. Like I'm, you know, light skinned, light eyed, you know, because whether it was like my descendants came directly from Europe or my dad was European and stuff like that. Either way, I've sort of always been able to pass, but that's like neither here nor there. You know, I don't fit the sort of unfortunate stereotype of what a Latin person is supposed to look like. But regardless of that, I was raised in a Latin home and you were talking about Latin, your Latin family and... yeah, I mean, I was raised where, you know, my mother was sort of very paranoid about my weight and was always, not always, but would every once in a while suggest that I might be overweight or I needed to exercise and blah, 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 and that sort of thing. And my uncles even sort of would have use gordo, you know, the word for fat as kind of like a nickname for me growing up. And it was used with affection and stuff like that. But all of this sort of thing and, you know, the media and even reading comic books and stuff like that. And I grew up in the 80s and the 80s was, there was a documentary on Netflix called like Stronger, Faster. I can't remember the exact name, but I watched it several months ago and I don't know if it's still on Netflix. And it perfectly encapsulates the sort of like body dysfunction that took root like sort of in the 80s when like exercise and action movies with ripped, you know, it was coming from a little bit of a male perspective where it was like, you know, it was this aggro sort of like male sort of thing. And to make sort of a long and not a story that doesn't necessarily have to be detailed, all these kind of things gelled together for me and screwed me up like big time to the point of where I am sort of not necessarily obsessed with exercise because I'm not like, you know, I'm not Captain America or, you know, Avengers in good shape, but it's like, if I don't exercise or if I don't, do that sort of thing, I get like really anxious. You know what I mean? I get like really down on myself and I beat myself up. And I believe that I suffer from a sort of like body, I forget what it's called, the term is called, where it's like you don't necessarily see yourself how other people see you. You see like an unrealistic view of yourself. And And so anyway, I'm very hung up on like body image. I'm very hung up. And I used to be even more so when I was younger. And it's funny because I never sort of reached a level of, you know, perfection that say like, you know, quote unquote perfection that, you know, a lot of action movie actors do, because I also lack a certain amount of willpower as far as like things that I eat. But it's interesting because I identify with your story very much, because I feel that sometimes the body imagery in comic books, particularly American comic books, you know, what could be damaging to a certain kind of man, or these action movies, or these things that society puts up as like, this is what masculinity is. This is what sort of male perfection is. You know what I'm saying? And it's just when you mentioned to me that you were doing the type of art that you were doing, and you also seem to be a very sort of, you know, well put together, very smart, you know, had confidence, had, you know, very direct sort of like way of presenting yourself. I was like, I want to talk to that person, because I want to like expose that sort of thing to the world, this body positivity thing. Am I making any kind of sense there?
Oh, you're making perfect sense.
Yeah. And there's a part of me that's like, I know all cultures do it, but there's sort of a thing that I've heard from other Latin people too, where there's sort of like this obsession with like body type and like body, you know, are you fat? Are you skinny? Are you even a little overweight? And it's just like interesting to me. I mean, I don't want to enforce like any sort of stereotype in it. I'm just coming from my observation of my culture sort of growing up. Do you think that there's something sort of in our sort of like Latin backgrounds that, or a thinking that's sort of like entrenched in our cultures that might enforce this sort of like body paranoia thing?
Honestly, I do. I mean, growing up, it was also an issue. Yeah, cause I'm Mexican American. Like, both my parents came from Mexico.
Yeah.
To the United States. And they, you know, they grew up in this American culture where it's like, you know, you have to look a certain way in order to be accepted.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of things. I mean, of course, like, you know, my mom, I love her with all my heart, and I know her intentions were good.
Same here.
She was just worried about not just my health, but she was concerned of, you know, how people were going to treat me,
being yep.
plus size girl. You know, she was afraid, you know, my daughter, she's going to get rejected, you know, by people because of her size, because she doesn't fit the American image.
Yeah.
That's when I asked a lot of my other Latinx friends, you know, what were their views on this? And they're like, yeah, a lot of, especially if they're, you know, straight from the motherland, you know, straight from Latin America, you know, they come to the United States and they try to, you know, they try to enforce their children to adopt this American image, this American way of life, so they don't get mistreated or they don't get ostracized like they were growing up, basically.
Yeah.
And so that's also an issue, because it's like, I mean, it's okay, you know, accept the American way of life. That's fine. But never forget where you're from.
Sure.
And that was the thing, you know, I remember. That was the good thing my mom did, at least. She was like, you know, accept the American way of life, but never forget where you're from.
Yeah.
And, you know, growing up Mexican, you know, I grew up in a Catholic home.
Yeah.
The Virgin Mary, you know, Dia de los Muertos.
Yeah. No, we didn't have that. But anyway, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. We had all the good stuff. You know, I speak perfect Spanish. Thanks to my mom telling me, you're going to speak Spanish. You're going to learn it. And I'm like, I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And she's like, never forget where you're from. And, you know, and that's the thing a lot of I feel some families should do is, you know, It's fine to embrace the American way of life, but don't embrace the entire image.
Yeah. Do you think it's the American way of life? I mean, I think that there's something embedded, you know, with where, you know, I don't know about your parents, but my parent grew up. I mean, I think that there is a very sort of, I mean, if you even look at sort of like Brazil, like let's use that as an example, you know, I mean, they pay for people to have plastic surgery there. You know, I mean, it's like almost seen as a right in that country. And I've just like often thought about, I mean, I think humankind is that way too, but with my experience, with my Latin upbringing, there was definitely a thing of like, I agree with you that there's like assimilate to a certain extent, or, you know, find your way so that you won't be ostracized like I was, or seen as differently. But I also think that there was something like sort of embedded in the culture that my mother came from, that it was very much like appearance matters. You know what I'm saying? The way that you look matters. Like one of the things that, that I've discussed with friends, you know, especially since the start of the Trump presidency, is how many people from like foreign cultures or different cultures will see somebody in a suit and be like, oh, this person has got it together. Like if they've got a tie and a suit and whatever, and society in general as well, you know, I mean, it's a bit of a generalization to say it's just like my, you know, people from my mother's country or Latin heritage. But it's interesting that there is sort of this like deep, deep obsession with image and how you look and appearance that I saw coming from my mother's side of the family, if that makes any sense. You know?
Perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just don't want to say that it's just assimilating with American culture, because God knows. I mean, you know, you turn on some of the Spanish television channels and the TV shows, it's like all the women are like, oh my God, you know what I mean? It's like what, you know, the talk shows and, you know, this tight outfits and the, like I actually just happened to be flipping channels the other day and there was a cooking show on a Spanish speaking network. And my daughter happened to be sitting in the room and she goes, Daddy, what's that? And I was like, yeah, that's a cooking show. And you know, the guys were dressed like, you know, in normal kind of shirts. But the woman on the show had like giant boobs and like a really low cut, you know, tank top. And, you know, that's the sort of thing I would see my family watching sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, totally.
There's like a superficiality to the culture in a way.
Oh, my God. We actually did, because I'm going to grad school for comics.
Yes. Oh, nice.
There is a master's in comics.
Oh, yeah, I know that they exist now. You're lucky. They didn't have that when I was growing up.
It's not too late. But anyway,
yeah,
we actually discussed this in my my history of comics class. We brought up the fact that when you do flip on the, you know, Spanish, like Telemundo or Univision, we have these very skinny, big-chested, light-skinned women.
Yeah.
And they're like the main hero, the main heroines. They're the ones that get the guy. They're the center of the attention. But when we bring out the dark skinned indigenous woman, she's either the maid or she's portrayed as unattractive.
Uh huh. Sorry, I'm laughing, but the truth is like making me laugh so much. Yeah.
Very true. You know, she's portrayed as all these things. But not once have I seen an actual indigenous dark-skinned woman on these shows where she's the one that gets the guy. And I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? This is not. I'm like, first of all, I was like, I've been to Mexico. Not all the women look like this. Cut me some slack here. Yeah, this is I honestly don't know where it comes from. When it comes to Latin America, I see these and I'm like, this is ridiculous. No, that is not how all women look like. Bring out the actual indigenous woman, for Christ's sake.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty dark. I mean, I'm not dark skinned, but I'm dark. I'm not light enough to be passed off.
Uh-huh.
Basically. And I honestly, I don't really know where this whole concept of like, oh, image is everything is like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, where the heck?
Well, it's weird because you're raised in such a way where it's like, oh, it's what's on the inside that matters. But all the things that you are being fed, you know, throughout your life and TV and movies and, you know, just any kind of imagery that you're being fed is completely the opposite of that. Just completely.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, growing up, I won't say who said it. But I remember I was watching TV and, you know, I was just so irritated by how, you know, these women are portrayed in these shows. And like even the men are these muscular, good looking guys.
Yeah.
And all the dark skinned indigenous men are the servants. They're the ones breaking their backs in the sun. They're the ones getting killed off. They never get the woman. I'm like, this isn't exactly the most positive image ever. And I forgot who I was talking to that day. But this one particular person told me, well, that's how it is. I'm like, well, it could change. And this said person even told me, okay, first of all, you got to accept the fact that it's all about appearance. If you don't fit that image, you're not going to find happiness. I'm like, no, I don't have to fit that image to find happiness. I mean, right now I'm happy. I'm healthy. I'm in school. I got a brain. So I got that going for me. And this person even told me, fine then, but you'll never find love because man likes a big girl. And I'm like, excuse me, let me stop you right there. I told him before I cuss you out and possibly destroy you verbally. I said, first of all, and this is a message, you know, I tell to everyone, especially my little brother and my little sister, because they're both teenagers and they're entering that age where they're like, appearance is everything. And this is what I told them. First of all, if no guy or in a guy's case, no girl or whatever you're into, if no person accepts you for who you are on the inside, that's their loss, not yours. Because you can do so much better. And I told this person too, if a guy refuses to see for who I am and what I can offer from the inside, then it sucks to be him because that's his loss, not mine.
Yeah.
Because I got more important things to do than waste my time.
Yeah.
And, you know, this said person is, you know, listening and it was just shocked by what I said. And he's like, well, whatever, you know, that's your thing. Years later, I come with a boyfriend. I'm like, what's that about? Dudes don't like big girls. And he's like, that's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
This dude loves me for who I am on the inside. He doesn't care what's on the outside.
Yeah.
It basically, and this is a message, you know, I always tell everybody, like, especially my little sister. Now she's at that age where she's like, I'm cute. I'll wear what I want. You know, my sister is beautiful. And I'm not just saying this because she's my sister. She's very beautiful. And she's an artist too. Like, she actually wants to go to art school. And I told her, go do whatever you want. You know, just don't sell drugs.
Good advice.
And then it's my little brother, though, that concerns me because, you know, he's a chunky little kid. He's 14. And, you know, a lot of people at his school and even at home are telling him, you know what, you're big. You got to lose weight. You don't look good. And he looks at me and he's like, how come you and I were born chunky? I'm like, well, we're Catholics. I said, because God felt there was more of us to love.
Yeah.
And he's nice like, answer. I said, yeah. I told him, first of all, yeah, you're chunky. I mean, but are you diabetic? And he's like, no. Can you run? He's like, yeah. Can you catch a football? He's like, yeah. Can you wrestle? Yeah. Okay, then. I mean, are you happy with the way you are? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, then who cares what anyone says?
I told him,
that's why I draw those comics for. And he's like, and you know, my siblings, they both read my comics.
Uh-huh.
Make them. I give them that choice.
Sure, sure.
And sure, wink, wink.
No, that's great.
Anyway, so they read my comics, and you know, they talk to me about it. Aim, my little brother, right now, he's like, hey, I have a question. And I'm like, what is it? Do you think, and I'm sorry, Benito, if you ever hear this podcast. He messaged me one night, and we're going to talk. This is going to be about that male image you talked about.
Uh-huh.
About how men should look like.
Yeah.
Casting. My 14-year-old brother sends me a message, and he's like, can I ask you a question? I'm like, what is it? Do you think I'm gay? I'm like, what? Like, huh. Where is this? I'm like, where is this coming from? I mean, do you like dudes? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay, then what makes you think you're gay? And he's like, well, because I don't know how to talk to girls. I'm like, what? Huh? Wait, what? I'm like, what does this have to do? And he tells me, well, it's because, you know, I see on how men should be aggressive, men should be this, men should be that. And I'm like, oh my God, this male toxicity is touching my little brother.
Yeah.
I told him, okay, first of all, you're only gay if you like other dudes. Do you like other dudes? And he's like, no, you like girls. He's like, yes, then you're straight. He's like, but I don't know how to talk to girls. I'm like, first of all, I'm a girl, and I don't even know how to talk to girls.
Uh-huh.
I tell him, don't worry about it. I said, just, you know, go up, you know, if you like a girl or you want to say hi to her, go say hi to her. It's that simple. You know, girls, you know, as a chick, you know, just go say hi to us. And he's like, what if a girl rejects me? And that's her loss. Go, you know, go make friends. You're a kid. The only thing you should be worrying about is, like, grades and, I don't know, catching the football and making sure you don't get in trouble by mom.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you something else. I want to know what got you into comics. What made you love comics? Because obviously, whenever we pick a comic up or we get into comics, particularly sort of like when I was young or young boys my age, there is sort of like a wish fulfillment or an identity factor, identifying with something, you know, strongly, that drags you sort of in. And obviously, for somebody like me, when I was younger, you know, who wanted to work out or exercise and wasn't necessarily popular in school and felt very lonely and, you know, sort of like rejected and stuff like that, mm-hmm. these characters, you know, looking the way I do, offered me some sort of like, you know, solace or wish fulfillment because I identified with certain aspects of them. What comics were the things that sort of brought you into the fold, you know, you having the experience that you have had? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. My mom regrets this.
Uh-oh.
I started watching the X-Men, you know, that animated series.
Sure. Of course I do.
And I got into it, but I didn't understand the concept of DC and Marvel at the time.
Sure.
My mom did. And she was like, oh, you think they're good? I got something to show you. I'm like, okay, what is it? And she introduced me to Wonder Woman.
Nice.
Now, I'm like, like having a spasm, right? Like 5-year-old me is having this spasm. And it was Linda Carter. My mom.
Oh, the TV show.
Yes. My mom, even though she denies it, she was a huge Wonder Woman fan as a kid.
Yeah.
So her introducing me to Wonder Woman was like a wish to her, which now she secretly regrets. But I remember she was like, that's Wonder Woman. I'm like, oh, she's beautiful. And she's like, and you know what else? I'm like, what? She's strong. I'm like, oh, really? She's like, yeah, she doesn't need a man to rescue her. I'm like, little 5-year-old me with my little pony, with my little trencita, I'm like, I want more Wonder Woman. And, you know, it was, you know, my mom was a single mom, and right next to her job was this bookstore owned by a friend of hers, and he had some comic books.
Yeah.
So she purchases a Wonder Woman comic and comes home and gives it to me, and it was like, You know, you hear holy music, that, oh, that's how I felt. And I'm just like, oh, oh my god, what is this? And she's like, it's a comic book. I'm like, oh, what?
That's great.
And I would just, I forgot which issue it was. I just remember I was just reading it. I was just so amazed. And I think it had Superman in it too.
Uh-huh.
I forgot which one exactly. But I'm like, who's this guy? And she's like, oh, that's Superman. I'm like, wait, what? She's like, Superman. And then she introduces me to Batman and Superman. And those were like the three main superheroes she knew. So
sure.
I only knew them, and I thought, oh my god, this is awesome. Like, I could so relate to Wonder Woman. You know, especially my mom being a single mom. It was, you know, her raising two kids on her own. And I thought, oh my god, yes! She doesn't need a man to rescue her. She could do this on her own. And, you know, and I was just overjoyed. But I think, like, the one comic book that stuck with me the most, and again, my mom kind of regrets it to this day for introducing me to comics, but secretly she's happy.
Yeah.
So I go to her friend's store because I always wander in there. Like, I always go in there to read his books. And I was like, hey, Jerry, what's new on the rack?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, I just sold out of Wonder Woman. I'm like, meh. Oh, I was sad. And he's like, but there is this one superhero. I think you might like him just as much as you like Wonder Woman. I'm like, really? Who is this superhero that I do not know of? And he's like, well, he's called the Green Lantern. I'm like, huh? So he hands me this comic of Green Lantern. And I'm just like, okay, what's so great about him? And he's like, well, you see, he's a superhero where his powers are created from by the power of his will. I'm like, what? By courage. You know, as long as he shows no fear, or, you know, as long as, you know, he's brave, he has powers. I'm like, what? What? And, you know, I'm reading this and I'm just like, wow, I was just so amazed. I was like, wait, this guy creates stuff just by the power of his will? And he's like, yeah, that's Green Lantern. I'm like, oh, I'm like, I want this comic so bad. And I didn't have an allowance, so I'm like, man. So I begged my mom, Mom, please, I'll do anything. A copy of Green Lantern. And she's like, what happened to Wonder Woman? I'm like, she sold out. Can I have Green Lantern, please? And, mm-hmm. You know, of course, she's like, I can't. I'm like, can I at least have a poster? No. I'm like, but, you know, of course, I would take my little sketchbook because I've been drawing my whole life, and I would try to draw him the best I could, even symbol. And I would go to school with his symbol. And in a way, Green Lantern was kind of like that inspiration that just gave me this feeling of, you know what, if this guy can create something out of, you know, the power of his will, maybe I can create stuff. Just by the power of my pencil.
That's great.
So
that's awesome. Yeah,
the pencil is my ring of power. And, you know, my courage is what keeps me drawing. And I've stuck to that ever since I was a little kid, even when I would get bullied. And, you know, I'd have bullies tell me, you can't draw, girls can't draw. I'm like, Green Lantern can build a rocket ship from a ring. I can definitely draw a rocket ship. And I'm right there just drawing away. And I held on to that for so many years. And even to this day, I still hold on to that concept that, you know what, if Green Lantern can create this cool stuff and fight evil just by the power of his courage, but, you know, the will of his, by his own courage, I can definitely create stuff.
That's fantastic. Wow, that's a really... Go Green Lantern. That's terrific. He's always been one of my favorites, but I love the inspiration that he brought to you, or that they brought to you, being more than one person.
Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. So what are some of the things that you currently, like, you know, as you sort of grew up and became a teenager and then into college and, you know, leaving college and stuff like that, obviously you felt like you sort of had to create your own comic to see a particular kind of, like, body image or something that you could identify and other people could identify with. What are some of the things that, like, in current media that you pull inspiration from besides, like, sort of like the comics that inspired you as a kid? Is there a comic book that you're reading that you love right now? Is there a character? You know, I mean, we were talking earlier before about, like, I mentioned, I could only think of, like, one body positive, you know, superheroine, and it was Faith from Valiant, you know, who is sort of like a big hit amongst fans because of who she is and what she represents. But is there anything that you see as sort of an inspiration to what you like to read that sort of inspired you to create your book?
Well, I do have one inspiration in particular. And it was, I don't know if you're familiar with Busty Girl Comics.
No, what's that?
So there, when I was fresh out of college, I discovered these comics called Busty Girl Comics, which was basically the artist. She drew these problems that a lot of busty girls have, and a lot of these girls were chubby. They had my body.
Huh.
I thought, oh my god, yes. And they were either called Busty Girl Problems or Busty Girl Perks.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my god, this is so, yes, I can relate to this so much. And in a way, that inspired me. And then, of course, later on down the road, and the artist is, her name is Paige Hazley Warren. I actually met her in person. She's a total sweetheart. Like, actually, she still remembers me to this day.
And that's great.
I met her at Long Beach Comic Con last year, which was actually my very first official Comic Con.
Yeah.
Because I've never been to a Comic Con before.
Nice.
And I was tabling that day because a friend of mine was willing to share a table, and I told him, well, I've never tabled ever in my life, and I've never been to a comic book convention, so show me the way. And he's like, So I met her, and she was so cool. I actually cried when I met her, and I was like, I love you. Your comics inspired my chubby buddy comics. Can I you?
That's
yeah,
great.
Because, you know, the characters were these busty, chubby women that would show either problems they had as busty girls or perks they had as busty girls. Like, one good example was, stairs. You know, when you're going down the stairs, if you're a busty girl, you kind of have to hold yourself up and look down as you take a step.
Huh.
And it's very relatable because that's the only way I can go down the stairs, because I can't see, you know, past, you know, my chest area. And I'm, this is relatable. Or, like, busty artist problems where, you know, this girl, she's chubby, she's a busty girl. She wears a nice bright blouse, and it ends up with charcoal because she has to, in order to get really close to her canvas, she has to press almost her whole body into it.
And wow.
Ugh. She's like, ugh, mental note, wear black when you're going to work with charcoal. And I'm like, oh, how many times did I get charcoal and paint off my And, you know, there's, like, even, what was the a perk? Oh. One of the perks, it's hot. And you're like, oh my god, it's so hot. What are you going to do? You're going to stick your cold cup of water between your chest, and you're like, oh yes, this is, like, totally perfect. And these comics were so relatable, and they were so well drawn, and I thought, I want to do this kind of work too. So I started drawing my chubby girls, and then down the line, I met Gigi. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
No.
She draws chubby girl art, and her art is, like, very beautiful. Like, she mostly works with watercolors and inks, and I loved her work so much. I thought, you know what? I don't just have to do comics. I can draw Chubby Bunny in all these cosplays too. So that inspired me to draw Chubby Bunny, you know, in cosplays. And I also met Gigi one day when I went to Heroes Con in North Carolina, and I was like, you inspired me to draw Chubby Bunny's cosplays. And she's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm like, I love you. I think those so far are my only two inspirations, because when I first got into it, those were the only two I knew. But now as I'm getting more and more into it, I'm meeting, I think I've only met another Chubby Girl artist. But mostly I've been getting in touch with a lot of body positivity bloggers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they've been seeing my work and they're like, oh my God, we love your work. I'm like, thank you, I'm honored. Like, can we follow you? I was like, of course, follow me. I'll follow you back because you're awesome. Yeah, and, you know, and I wish I could say there was a one in particular, you know, comic in particular that I'm currently reading, you know, that deals with body positivity, but there's not a lot of them out there.
Sure.
And what's disappointing, because, you know, we need more of these, this kind of exposure, you know, so people, you know, not just women, but also men, they can grow up and they can know that, you know what, you're fine. You don't have to look this certain way. You don't have to act this certain way to be happy.
Yeah.
Being yourself. And, you know, I wish we had more of that. And we're starting to see a little more of it. I mean, I'm coming, like, you know, with DC and Marvel, we have Miss Marvel.
Yeah.
You know, she's a, you know, she's a girl of color. You know, she wasn't born, like, rich or stuff like that. She's just a normal girl. She got superpowers. And that's the kind of stuff we need to see more of.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you one last question as we sort of, like, wrap this up. How did you, and I wonder this a lot about women in particular or girls and stuff like that, particularly, I mean, you're younger than I am, but sometimes I wonder about the people my age. How did you avoid sort of like getting turned off of comics? Because you said you were sort of inspired by Wonder Woman, but you can look at even some Wonder Woman art and issues and, you know, and stuff and be like, yeesh, like this is highly sexualized. This is highly, you know, body, you know, perfection, that sort of thing. And I know that as me growing up, you know, women, girls were not necessarily interested in comics because of the way that women were represented in those books, mostly physically. So how did you sort of retain your love of comics despite the fact that, you know, some comics are sort of like deeply rooted in like misogyny and, you know, like body, the perfection of like the female and, you know, male body. How did you keep from falling out of it? Because I know that people walk away and look at it and just like, geez, look at her. She's practically naked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, honestly, and I'm going to, you know, and I recently told this to a guy at the gym one day. Comics are another form of communication. Like someone like me, you know, I have social anxiety issues.
Mm-hmm.
When I first met you, I literally had to like hold my chest and just be like, oh my God, please don't let me say anything stupid. I don't want to meet people. I had to like just really hope that, you know, because, you know, my anxiety issues. And then even at this interview, I thought, please don't let me say anything stupid.
You're doing great.
Thanks.
You're doing great.
And, you know, like, and I was telling, you know, my boyfriend, you know, what if, because when it comes to a lot of things, I can talk about a lot of things, But when it comes to talking about myself, I shut up instantly because I don't know what to say about myself. So for someone like me who has a hard time with words, comics were always a way for me to get my message across. Whatever I felt, I would draw it. Whatever I go through, I would put it on paper. For example, when I was at the hospital for a week, I drew it. Because it was the only way I can express myself. I couldn't just call up my friend or my boyfriend and, you know, be like, I'm miserable. Help. No.
Yeah.
I draw. Because, you know, it's hard for someone like me to go up to somebody and say, I need help. Or something like, you know, in that kind of way. And I think that's the only reason why I never got turned away from comics, because comics have their own little message for those who don't have a voice. They're a way of communication. And for me, it was just, you know, something that was just there. Happiness. I mean, I didn't really care, you know, when I grew up and I saw these these messages, I was like, yeah, this ticks me off. Yes, we shouldn't have that. But you know what? DC and Marvel aren't the only comic books out there. I mean, we have Valiant Comics, we have Indie Comics, and we have all these, you know, these people who grew up with DC and Marvel. And they decide, you know what, I'm going to pick up a pencil, I'm going to grab a piece of paper, I'm going to draw my own comics.
Yep.
And I think it's because of these indie comic artists is the reason why people like me, and especially myself, it's just why we stick to comics. Like, my love for comics has never died away.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, comics were like my form of communication, my escape from, you know, my own mental issues.
Cool.
And they made me feel good. And that's the thing I'm trying to do with my comics, you know, to let some poor little girl or a little boy or anybody out there who feels like, you know what, I have these mental issues, I feel lonely. No, comic books. There's people out there just like you, and we're trying to communicate. We're trying to tell you that you're not alone, and we're here. We're just a big group of geeks.
Well, that's a really lovely way to put it, and that's fantastic. And I'm really happy to have had the chance to speak with you, and I'm really impressed with what you're doing. And thank you for following up with me and, you know, staying on top of me to do this interview, because I know that sometimes I get wrapped up in life and things like that, and it takes me a while to get to interviews and talk to the people that I've chatted with at conventions. But I'm really glad that I was able to do this, and I'm really appreciative of what you're out there doing and what you're speaking to.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks.
Cool. And then, and before I forget, the documentary that I was talking about earlier is called Bigger, Stronger, Faster. It's sort of more about like the steroid culture that kind of blew up like in the 80s. But it's a fascinating look at sort of like male body image and like what these sort of like crazy drive to sort of become like these pumped up, you know, super muscled men. Like how it took hold during a certain time, particularly when I was growing up. And it's a really great, looks like it's free on Hulu. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but anyway, check it out if you're able. It was a fascinating watch for me and just kind of blew my mind and spoke to a lot of issues that I had growing up. In any case, I have been chatting with Maxi Rodriguez. Maxi, where can people find your comics again? What's the Instagram handle again?
So my Instagram handle is Kasuto Productions, KASUTO Productions. You can find it on Instagram. You can find me on Webtoons. You can Webtoons. You can look up Chronicles of a Chubby Bunny. I also have a Twitter. I do post up, I sometimes post up artwork or any animations that I do. And I also have a Facebook as well. Same thing, The Art of Kasuto Productions.
Where does Kasuto come from?
I'm a huge Zelda nerd.
Oh.
This website that I love so much. It was called Kasuto.net.
Okay.
And at the time, I was barely drawing my very first comic strip. And every time I would finish my little comic strip, I would literally write Kasuto Productions. And nice. I've stuck by ever since.
That's great. That's an awesome story. all right. Well, my name is Christian Horn, and this has been the Part-Time Fanboy Podcast. You can check us out on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. The email is ptf@parttimefanboy.com. So I guess this is going to be sort of the last episode before Thanksgiving. So I would like to wish everybody out there a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your turkey or veggie turkey or whatever it is you eat on Turkey Day. I hope everyone has a happy, wonderful, and peaceful Thanksgiving. And we will probably be back sometime after Thanksgiving. I can't say exactly when, with a new episode of Part-Time Fanboy. Thank you for listening, and check out Maxie's art on Instagram and all that other good social media stuff that she pointed out. See you real soon. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Part-Time Fanboy.